see everybody here this morning. The last several weeks I've been doing a series of lessons, which are basically first principle lessons. We've been studying about the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the return of Christ, and then last week's lesson was just simply a study of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lesson this morning is a continuation in these first principle lessons as we began studying the church. You'll notice the title of the lesson this morning is The Church in Christ, God's Eternal Purpose. Where I would like to start the sermon this morning is over in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. This is going to be the base text around which we build the entire sermon. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll notice on the overhead here, I put in yellow the word, the mystery. A mystery is something that you don't understand what's there until the mystery is finally revealed and you can understand and see the reality of the mystery. The gospel, the church, was a mystery. And it says about this mystery, it was from the beginning of the ages and it has been hidden in God. The beginning of the ages is before God ever created anything. Before God ever created anything, he understood the end from the beginning. He understood that when he created man, in the end, man was going to sin. And he understood that for man to be saved, it was going to take Christ crucified. But what I want you to see in the beginning of this lesson is that this was all in the mind of God from the very beginning. Again, in Colossians 1:26 it says, For the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. So here again, you have the same mystery, and it's been hidden from ages. Going over to Ephesians now, chapter 3 and 10 and 11, he says, To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. These two verses are basically the summary of the sermon this morning. I want you to realize here in verse 10, he speaks about the church. The church is describing the one body, the universal church, the kingdom, the house of God, the family of God. You need to understand, when we're talking about the church, there's only one. There's only one body. There's only one kingdom. And so you need to understand, the church, the text says here, was God's eternal purpose. You may not be familiar with premillennialism. Premillennialism has the idea that since the Jews rejected the Christ, that God came up with plan B, the great parenthesis, the church. Listen, folks, God doesn't need plan B. He's God. The church is not the great parentheses plan B. The church is plan A. The church was God's eternal purpose. From the very beginning, God understood the way that mankind was going to be saved was going to be through Christ Jesus, and those individuals who would be saved, who would ultimately end up being with him in heaven, would be the church, the kingdom, the body. Those who would ultimately be with God in heaven was God's eternal purpose. He understood the end from the beginning. It was the eternal purpose from the very beginning of Christ crucified and the church, those being saved through Christ, ultimately being with him in heaven. Going over to Ephesians again in chapter 3. I'm going to read from the overhead for the outline first. How that by revelation you made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So here again he's talking about that mystery. As I told you, the mystery, the only way you can understand what the mystery is for it to be revealed. about the mystery. He wrote it down. He says, now we can read it and we can understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Going back to the same text in verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Wasn't known in the past. But now it has been revealed. The mystery has finally been revealed to the apostles and prophets of the Holy Spirit. That's why when you go to Colossians 1 and 26, it says, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and has been from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. The mystery. What was in the mind of God from the very beginning? There were prophecies about it. Well, there were prophecies about the kingdom. There were prophecies about the Christ. And even the prophets and the angels were curious, what is God going to do? What is God's plan? What's coming? What God's plan was the Christ. What God's plan was Christ crucified and those who would obey the gospel, the church, the saved. This mystery was revealed finally at the time of the apostles and prophets of the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down the revelation of the mystery so we can understand what was God's eternal purpose before he ever created the world. Going over to Ephesians 1 and 4 now and 5. He chose us in him, notice this, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Again, notice what I've put in yellow here. Before the foundation of the world, before it was ever created, this was already in the mind of God about how we were going to become children of God through Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 Peter 1:19 it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, is the same phrase again, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundation of the world, God's eternal purpose was Christ crucified. He knew we were going to sin. He knew you were going to sin. And he knew the only way you could be with him was for him to give his son, the blood of the Christ. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that sacrifice was going to need to be made so that you could ultimately be with God in heaven. Now let's talk about the wisdom of God. Let's go back to the opening verse. In Ephesians 3:10, it speaks about how the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Manifold is not part of a car. The word manifold is the idea of the varied. There is many aspects to it. So that we can know what the wisdom of God was, it was going to be made known by the church. By the coming into existence of the church, was the manifold wisdom of God finally coming to fruition. The church is the end of it all. Christ crucified is to get to the point of the church, so the church can ultimately be with God. That's what it's all about. Before God created us, as I said, he understood the end from the beginning. And for anybody to ever be with him in heaven, Christ was going to have to die. The manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church. Going over to verse 11. It says, according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This eternal purpose was accomplished in Christ Jesus, so the church could come into being. Without Christ crucified, there would be no church. Without Christ crucified, there would be no kingdom. Without Christ crucified, there would be no one saved. The kingdom, the church, the saved are all the same. And for us to be saved, to be part of the kingdom, to be part of the church, Christ had to die. Going on to 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Do you realize, again, 1 Corinthians 2:7 is basically a summary of the whole sermon. To where it talks about how it was before the ages, it was hidden wisdom, and now what the apostles are doing, they're speaking that wisdom of God. What we have in the new covenant is the revelation of the wisdom of God that was in the mind of God from the very beginning. That's why when you go over to 1 Corinthians 1:21-24 is where I'm reading from the outline. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God that the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I'll just stop right here. This is the wisdom of God. He talks about the foolishness of the message preached. What is that message that is preached? Go back to the outline. But the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the message that was preached, Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But look at verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here's the manifold wisdom of God. Here's the wisdom of God. Through the foolishness of the message preached, what's the message that was preached? Christ crucified. God knew you were going to sin. He knows the end of your life from the beginning of your life. He knew you were going to sin. And He knew the only way you, yes, you personally, could be with Him in heaven was for Him to give His Son to die for you. And He loved you so much, He did give His Son to die for you. And Jesus did love you so much, He gave Himself for you so you could be with Him. That is the wisdom of God. And the ones who believe this message that is preached, those are the ones that are going back to the text says here, that are going to be saved through to those who believe. Those who believe the message are going to be the ones who will be the saved. The saved are the church. The saved are the kingdom. The saved are the body. The ones who believe the message of God's wisdom are going to be the ones who will constitute the church. How many of you are thinking about the outline? Shouldn't that read the Church of Christ, Wayne? No, I purposely put it the Church in Christ to get your attention. So you can come to understand exactly what the church actually is. In Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And again, notice this, in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that a person could ever have a blessing of enjoying is only going to be found in one place. And that is in Christ. That is a location. In Christ is a place where you have to be in order to enjoy the spiritual blessings. You have to be in Christ. As we go through this portion of the lesson, I'm wanting you to see how many times this concept of being in Christ, through Christ, is emphasized. As you continue here in chapter 1, 6 through 7, going to the outline, it says, To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Then in verse 7, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now let's break this down. We've learned up here in verse 3 that every spiritual blessing is in a location, in a place. That location is for you to be in Christ. And some of the spiritual blessings He's talking about here is that God has made it to where you can be accepted, to where God will accept you. You can be reconciled to God. You can be right with God, have peace between yourself and God. But the only way that is done is by you being in the Beloved. And then look at verse 7. In Him, that's in Christ, We have the redemption through his blood. The word redemption is the idea of purchasing something. You younger people don't remember redemption centers for stamps. The older people do. But the idea of redemption is purchasing something, buying back, literally. Purchasing it. We were purchased. We were redeemed. We were bought with the blood of Christ. And so this redemption through his blood is only going to be for those that are in him. So not only do we have the redemption of ourselves through his blood, we also have the forgiveness of sins by being in him. Do you see these spiritual blessings? You've got three of them listed here. We're accepted. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. All as a consequence of us being in him, through him, in Christ. This continues in Ephesians 1. And he says in verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Again, are you noticing the pattern here in the beginning of Ephesians? There's that phrase, in him. Also we have obtained an inheritance. The term inheritance is the idea of what you're going to receive as a child of God in the end of it all. God is our Father. We are his children. God has an inheritance for us, his children. And this inheritance is going to be given to us at the second coming of Christ. Speaking about this in Romans chapter 6, it says, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Notice this, where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you seeing the pattern here? In Christ. In him. Through him. In Christ Jesus our Lord. All the spiritual blessings, our inheritance, the forgiveness of our sins, us being redeemed, all of these in eternal life are in Christ. So therefore, you must be in Christ. Is that that's pretty easy to see, isn't it? You must be in Christ for you to enjoy any of these spiritual blessings. 2 Corinthians now chapter 5. We're going to begin here in verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. If you desire to be a new creation, starting all over again as a child of God, forgiven of your sins, you have to be in Christ. He continues in the text here and says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Look at this. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When you hear the word reconciliation, this is the idea that somebody has left someone. We left God. In our stubborn pride and sin, we are the ones who left God. And we can be reconciled to God. We can come back to God. We can be accepted by God through Jesus Christ. And he says not only that, he has given to the apostles and the prophets the ministry of reconciliation. Remember what we learned earlier back here in 1 Corinthians 1? How through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe, the message that is preached is the ministry of reconciliation, which is Christ crucified. Christ crucified is the ministry of reconciliation. Christ crucified is the message that was preached so that those who believed the message could be saved. He continues now in verse 19, he says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Remember what we learned earlier? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. The forgiveness of your sins. Redemption through the blood of Christ. Here again, he talks about how in Christ, he's reconciling the whole world to him. everyone who is reconciled to God in Christ is the church. That's what the church is. The church is constituted of everyone who is in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are in the church. You are in the kingdom. You are in the body. Thus, it is the church in Christ. But he's also given to them the word of reconciliation, the gospel, the good news is the word of reconciliation. We are the ones who left God. But God has made it possible for us to come back to him to be reconciled. The sin that is standing between us and God, that sin can be removed. That sin can be forgiven to where you are reconciled to God and nothing is standing between you and your God. You have total peace now between you and your God through the power of the blood of Christ. That is the good news of the word of reconciliation. That you can come home to God. You can be right with God. You can be saved even though you have sinned in the past. We'll close this lesson by going to Galatians 3. Since we've learned so far that all these spiritual blessings are in Christ, the ultimate question someone has to ask is, how do I get into Christ? If all these spiritual blessings are in him, how do I get there? Galatians 3, 26 and 27 gives you the answer. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's the verse right there, folks. If you desire to be a child of God, if you desire to be a son of God, it all starts with faith in Christ Jesus. Remember what we learned earlier? Back here in 1 Corinthians 1, he talks about through the foolishness of the message that was preached. Let's go back and read it one more time. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Believe. Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth actually is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you sincerely believe that he died for your sins at Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day? If you say resoundingly yes in your heart, good. That's the beginning of it. That's the beginning of it. Because it is your faith that is going to be driving your relationship with God from that point forward for the rest of your life. But the person who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order to get into Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. You are baptized into Christ. That's the only way you get in Christ, is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, confessing your faith, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins into Christ. Go over to Acts 2:38. Here, when the Jews who were hearing the first gospel sermon preached on the day of Pentecost, when they said, verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer is given, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The person who believes needs to repent, turning from your sins and start following the teachings of Jesus Christ by faith in your life. If you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, then you are baptized for the remission of your sins into Christ, and thus you are in Christ. And being in Christ, you enjoy all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And we'll close the sermon by going to verse 47 of chapter 2 of Acts. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Those who came forward and repented of their sins on this day and were baptized after they obeyed the gospel, the Lord added them to the church. Notice this, daily those who were being saved. The church is the saved. The church is those who are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you are in the one church. There's only one church, folks. And if you're not in it, you're not saved. Because the church is the saved. It is the saved. That's what it is. All the saved constitute the one church. And sermon now by bringing in the big picture of what we're trying to teach you this morning. Everything you see around you is temporary. The planet on which we live is temporary. The sun that warms us is temporary. The solar system, the galaxy, the universe, your body, it's temporary. It is all going to come to an end when the Lord comes again. There's only going to be one thing out of this entire phase of existence in this universe carried over into the new heaven and the new earth that will be with God for eternity. The only thing carried over to the new heaven and the new earth to be with God for eternity is going to be God's eternal purpose, the church, the saved, those who will be with God in heaven, having eternal life for eternity. The big question is this: are you in the one church? Are you in Christ? Because if you are not in Christ, you have no spiritual blessing and you are still separated from God. Please let that sink in. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's where they're all found. And those who are in Christ, that's what the church is. The church of Christ is the church that is in Christ. The saved who are in Christ enjoy all the spiritual blessings because we're in Christ. And the way everyone gets into Christ is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you understand Christ crucified was for you? Christ's resurrection was for you. If you honestly believe that, come forward confessing your faith. And then make that commitment to repent of your sins. And be baptized into Christ. Baptized into the one body. Baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to the saved. The Lord will add you to those who are in Christ. The Lord will add you to the church. What you do for the rest of your life, as a child of God, you walk and you live by faith. You follow the commands of the King by faith. Do you realize that there are times in our lives as children of God, we've already obeyed the gospel of God, we blow it. We absolutely mess up and sin. I have some good news for you. God still loves you. God still wants you. Sometimes you may be amazed by the fact that God still wants us after things are done. God still loves you and God still wants you with him. You can be reconciled to God. You can come home to God. Take the sin to our God. Confess it to him and turn from it. He loves you still. He wants you with him still. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you as you come back to the Father. Don't leave the building without being right with God. Be reconciled to your God and look forward to eternal life with your God. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know what we